Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Man, are we loaded today. Not drunk, but we are loaded for bear. We are loaded for activity today.
Speak for yourself, Mike.
Let me just get this out of the way at the top of the show. A very happy birthday to my middle child, Elizabeth, 27 years young today. I let her snooze. I have not called her personally, but I will say it publicly. Probably
she's on the Eastern time zone, right?
She's on the Eastern time zone, and she's traveling now, so I just wanted to say happy, happy, happy birthday to Elizabeth, and I will call you later on. She probably more than any other person in my family checks in with the show on a regular basis, which I think is wonderful.
She's a great, you know what, I'll say this, happy birthday, Elizabeth. You are a great laugher, and
yes,
you are very fun to talk
from the
with,
gut.
Hang out with. She's great. So
from
happy birthday.
The gut.
27 is really old to have a kid.
There you go. I know, Josh, you try to get it in, but he throws it. I know.
Oh, I was just going to add, today is also my middle child's birthday.
Is it really?
It is.
Go, well, have at it, please.
Brooke
share
turns,
it with us.
17 this year.
And the name of your middle child?
Brooke.
Brooke. Happy birthday to Brooke. We've got a 27-year-old and a 17-year-old. And as Rob Spiewak will back me up on this, it is what makes the world go round, in my humble opinion. I will leave this earthly plane saying the greatest thing I did was bring those wonderful human beings into the world. And I am in love with every single one of them.
I disagree, Mike. I think the best thing you've ever done is low-budget Jeopardy. But the kids are a close second.
We are happy to have you here. We got a lot going on, especially a little later in the show. We're going to be talking about kids. We're going to be talking about horror movies, trash. Europeans. I don't know if we're going to get to all of it because we have a guest to start the show today. This time of year, most Floridians look to the sky. This is when we start to think about it, and we think about those hurricanes because when you have gone through a direct hit, which we got from Hurricane Ian a couple of years back.
He's a dick.
It is it's a scary time. Now, primarily down here, we'll get into the weeds with our guest, but around Florida, it seems to me late August into September is when we really get the hurricanes down here. This gentleman formed Mike's Weather Page. He is an amateur video blog. It is established all the way back in 2004 by Mike Boylan. And he lives, I don't even know where Oldsmar, Florida is, but we'll ask him. Mike's Weather Page was launched in 04 by Mike. He graduated from the University of South Florida with a degree in marketing in 1996. He joined Facebook in 2009 to establish his weather site, Passion Project, and he has since amassed over 1 million followers, becoming a popular figure in the weather blogging realm, which I know nothing about. He is well known for his live coverage of Atlantic hurricanes as a storm chaser. So not only a guy that loves weather, but a guy that's gotten out there and done it. Let's bring on Mike Boylan here. Mike, thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds great, guys. Appreciate that intro. And just got back from Texas chasing barrels, so I'm ready to we'll break here, hopefully, in the tropics for a little while.
Let's start with that. How, you know, I think that we tend to ignore the places we don't live. How are they doing down there? I know a buddy of mine that I went to school with had his neighborhood pretty well racked by that. How are they doing with Beryl? What's the damage like, and where is it going from here?
Yeah, it was you know, only a Cat 1, which is something I try to stay away from because every storm is so different. And this one, a lot of locals that live, you know, through all these hurricanes, 30, 40, 50 years, some of them told me that this could have been one of the worst they've felt. So every storm is different. Houston still has over 1 million without power. It's a nightmare. There's no gas. I mean, we were trying to get to the airport and just have a good meal, a good beer, and a nice hotel the night we were leaving, and there was nothing. It was like, you know, pitch black. We were lucky to fly home, and it's rough. You know, they had 203 tornado warnings from Texas to New York. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow.
Second most tornadoes since I've been back in like 2004. So
So, and we're talking to Cat 1 when it made landfall in Texas. So the idea of it doesn't matter how strong the hurricane is, it can spin up these tornadoes for just thousands of miles, right?
Yeah, nuts. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, we always focus on that landfall, but there's other areas that are always affected, you know, inland. And, you know, every storm's different. But, you know, Ian, big old storm, you know, the east coast of Florida got flooded. You know, people had no idea. And, you know,
no idea.
We just have, we always talk about all the impacts. Yes.
The tornadoes, they are, they, you know, the hurricane starts a tornado. Is the tornado reliant on the topography? Is a flat area more likely to get a tornado than something that's mountainous? Right?
Typically, this is a little different because, you know, New York had their highest tornado count in history yesterday. I think they had 44 tornadoes.
I missed that. I had idea that it was spinning all the way up there and still affecting people. You know, when you mention, first of all, you're a guy that has been doing this for a long time. And when people are making arrangements to get out of Dodge, you're booking a one-way flight to Dodge to figure out what's going on with this. Ian is I did a documentary. I often reference it when I'm talking about hurricanes, Mike, on the show, that talked about they've gotten pretty good, the forecasters, at forecasting track.
Mm-hmm.
But at least the way I've observed these things, when it comes to intensity, no one's really dialed that in as far as it can be, you know, tens of miles offshore, and then all of a sudden it just pops and explodes. Have you found that to be the case with the ones that you've been chasing?
So many times. You know, Michael was one that rings a bell because the first few forecasts had it as a tropical storm hit the panhandle, and that was 3 days before early forecast, and it ended up a five, you know.
That was Mexico Beach, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And what I've been learning over the years, too, talking to folks that are affected by these storms, a lot of people see that first initial forecast, and then they just don't look at the news again. And I had so many people down in Fort Myers with the same thing. On Saturday, it was going to the panhandle.
Never
dreamed it was going to hit you guys. And the problem with Ian, which I can't preach enough, is the talking points where it was going to be a weakening hurricane, going to hit Friday, going to hit the panhandle. So I think everybody's perception, even down in the, you know, Ural's area, was it's going to be weakening. It's going to be Friday. Well, it turned. So when it turned, it hit 2 days earlier because now it's not going to the panhandle, and it was still a major hurricane. So it was like, oh my God. So the messaging, I think, is something that we can all get better at. And we saw this storm, you know, this week ramp up at the last second. I compared it a lot to Hurricane Sally hit the panhandle a few years ago. So this, you're 100% correct. And, you know, intensity is, there are models that I share that I believe in. It's just the NHC makes really small steps in their intensities. And I think sometimes they're a little too conservative on the worst case.
You okay, know? That's interesting to me because one of the things, Mike, you know, they tell you down here in Florida is have a plan. And the plan that I've had since I moved down here about a decade ago is get out of Dodge and get out of Dodge early. And it has served me well and my family well to, you know that you can always turn the car around and come back. But if you're caught in the middle
of this, Mike, you have your shutters.
Don't get me started. That is, you know, it's funny. There are two things that I worry about. The dealing with another one of these things and my neighbors getting racked. And I have people that less than a mile across the street from me experienced this in a lower-lying area to where my guy was, my buddy Z, was 9 months getting his house fixed because his house was basically destroyed by floodwaters, where over here, slightly higher, and on the other side of the Tamiami Trail, and did not get that. I want to talk to you about are we in a state now, in your opinion, and you're not a meteorologist, but you're a guy that is just as good as a meteorologist because you live and breathe this stuff, and you get right into the belly of the beast. Do you believe now that even with cyclical weather patterns, that we are now officially in, these storms are here to stay for greater intensity and greater frequency, and we're there now, and there's no sign that that's going to be letting up anytime soon?
Well, there are, you know, 20, 30, 40-year cycles in the weather, AMO, I think it's a cycle that some study that we are at the peak of one of these warm trends. And what you're right, whether we're in it for a long time or not, it seems like since I started really doing this in 16, we started out with Harvey, and it's just like every year we've had one of these major storms. And even, you know, last year, even with El Nino, which is supposed to bring less storms, we still had Idalia. So these water temperatures, you know, I think it really comes down to these water temps. You know, they just updated their forecast again 2 days ago from Colorado State, and they even bumped more. Now they're calling for 25, which means 22 more to come. So the waters are a big thing, and you can't deny the waters are just warmer than a 30-year average. Now, what they were, you know, 100 million years ago, no one knows. But based on 30-year averages, we are above that, and I think we saw that with Beryl. It blew up in the Caribbean. Yeah. It blew up in the Gulf, and so we're in those times. This year is going to be interesting because I'm not one to worry, but I do believe what we just witnessed with Beryl. When we get to those peak months, like you mentioned, beginning August, September, October, that's when it gets real. And I think the one thing, you know, my messaging is something I'm working hard on. I'm being a Floridian. You know, I've been using this quote, like, don't be stubborn. And and we've in Tampa Bay area, we've evacuated three times and nothing ever came. Mm-hmm. And so people are just sick of that, you know, but I'm afraid that Mother Nature, you know, there's no rhyme or reason why they turn. They turn at the last second, but one year it ain't going to turn. And that's kind of what, you know, Floridians think they're tough and they can beat the storm, but you can't mess with storm surge, you know.
No, and that's, I'm glad you mentioned storm surge, because being through one of these with Hurricane Ian and experiencing the video on the local news of the people that were body surfing. 8 hours before this thing hit landfall. And then at Fort Myers Beach, where they were talking about people that drowned in their attic, in their upper level of their home. It happens instantaneously. And it doesn't, Mike, when you watch this, it doesn't, how should I describe this? It shows up, but everybody thinks that it's like a tsunami where the storm surge comes on. No, what it is like if you were getting water in your basement that just wouldn't stop, and it just rises and rises and rises. Horrifying. And it's that's what kills people, as most people know. You have to make the preparations for it, and you have to err on the side of self-preservation and, you know, being safe and keeping your family safe and getting the hell out of there, you know? Yeah.
I'm glad, Mike, you've gotten over your stubbornness, because I remember when you moved to Florida and you'd tie yourself to a tree every time there was a storm. But no, but seriously, going back to when you said we're in a cycle right now, and did you say an AMO cycle?
Yeah,
The weather patterns, I mean, weather-wise, we are such a young country, and I have to imagine that we don't have valid data for a long, long stretch of time.
Well, but I mean, I remember the hurricane in 1938 going back to Connecticut. You were just a boy. I was there. No. but there was a reservoir back in my childhood home, and I used to fish out of a pond. The pond was formed after the 1938 hurricane, you know, talking about records, blew out, you know, with the rain and everything, blew out the dam that held the water in the reservoir. My house was on very close to a reservoir. And
can you ever live anywhere safe? Ever? But Mike, what I wanted to ask is, do we have any statistical records, even, you know, averages that show that there was a cycle of warmth like this in, say, the last 200 years?
Well, I'm glad. Thank goodness for Google, because I didn't want to sound a bigger idiot than I usually do. But the AMO is a 20-40-year cycle. You can Google it. But they do note it's been occurring for at least the last 1,000 years. So there are a lot of documents about this, and I've seen graphs, and it's based on water temperatures, basically anomalies. So 20-30 years from now, you know. But you know, if you think back, like we had Hurricane Andrew in Florida in '92.
Yeah.
And really, I don't remember much until 2004 when this all started up again. So we have had cycles of inactivity.
All right.
But, man, it just seems like right now there's more people living on the coast. That's a big factor. So, you know, I think that the impacts seem worse now because we have more people living along the coast. We have more concrete. you know, flooding is obviously that water can't drain very fast. Those are things we didn't have to worry about when Florida didn't have anybody living here. So, yeah.
You know, I like the fact that you talk about what you do, but when you know that you're not a meteorologist. But let me tell you something. This page, Mike's weather page, is going to be a go-to for me when the S hits the fan, so to speak. and it really is extremely detailed, and you got a tremendous amount of information here. And looking at your maps that you love to share with everybody, and they're great. You curate a lot of this information, which I think helps people out here. And when you look at that swath going right up through the middle part of the country of the tornado warnings, it's really scary. Let me get to a question that I think whether you are a meteorologist or not, what do you think we're what's it looking in your opinion? You think we're going to get whacked again in 2024? You think it's going to be an intense season?
I can't see how it's not. Yeah. I compare these La Nina years that we've had. And everything pushes more west during a La Nina year. We have a stronger Bermuda high, so a lot of Floridians know that's talking. You know, when we have that strong Bermuda high set in, and they're already talking about a huge heat dome over the Atlantic. It's a wall that the storms can't. They go around this Bermuda high, and unfortunately, puts everybody in the path. And we've already.
So it's
seen
pretty
that.
Much we're talking New Orleans through the Houston area, Mexico, right. The Yucatan Peninsula, all the that. Well, so it'll move these a little bit more in that direction.
Exactly. And the storms that normally recurve that don't hit anybody, maybe Bermuda, those are the ones now. The East Coast even has more of an impact because the East Coast really hasn't had any storms in a long time. I mean, the Carolinas, you know, have had them in the past, but it's been a really long dry spell for them. So, you know, Mother Nature, I always find figures out a way, you know, and history repeats itself. Where we got to worry, and I'm most concerned about it, I look at these long-range temperature models and precipitation models, and September, October, that Western Caribbean is where we need to worry in Florida. Once these cold fronts start coming down, they lift systems and turn them northeastward. And that's what happened with Texas. We had a cold front this week that lifted Beryl, and a lot of models didn't pick it up. The almighty Euro kept saying Mexico, it was the outlier. So there's a little common sense with tropics in tracking. You know, Ian was the same way. You know, there was a front coming down, and I don't know, you know, the models didn't see that. But, that's why October for us, and we got to worry about that Western Caribbean because storms lift out of there and turn towards the Florida West Coast.
And it is the West Coast. Hallelujah. As far as your weather page, and I see you've got spaghettimodels.com. Is that yours too? Or
is
yours too?
Is that an Italian website? What is that?
No, the spaghetti models. Remember the one that that shows where things are going type of stuff?
Yeah. What's being silly?
Because I always like to get to people's motivation. It's obviously a fascination of yours, right. But what do you want people to get out of? You've got 1.5 million subscribers. What do you want followers, what do you want people to get out of Mike's weather page and spaghettimodels.com? What are you trying to do with your daily activity with this?
I think it's just the messaging. I try to share a little bit of my thoughts and possibilities. I think that's the number one compliment I get from people is they like to know all possibilities. Mm-hmm. I explain the whys. Sometimes it's right. And I remember doing a video with Ian, even I would Sunday morning. I rarely do this, but I just had a bad feeling for Florida West Coast. So I just want to be another source for people to get all the possibilities and, educate a little bit from what I've learned along the way and hopefully trust, you know, and one thing I do a little too much of is put more than just weather, But, you know, I love relating to the people and, families and, going out to baseball games, having a beer. So it's kind of like we're friends, our little community is really special. I mean, I meet people all around the country now and it doesn't matter where I go. It's like Mike and I don't know. It's just we become like a really little niche, with the weather world. And
when you storm chase, do you run into the same people at every storm? Is there like the people come from all different directions? Do you get to know people when you arrive?
Yeah, I've become friends with Reed Timmer. He's a real famous tornado chaser. Uh-huh. Cantori and I seem to bump into each other now. We become friends. And,
That's funny.
Somebody had a chalkboard one time. And they're like, we love Mike Serapage and Jim Cantore, just not together, you know.
So, you see these two guys in an airport, you know you are effed. That's the way that goes down, you know, all the way. You know, Mike, you go into the belly of the beast for a lot, Burl being the most recent one. Is there a I'm trying to get the information for people that might be dealing with this. If you've got if you're in the cone.
Right. Yes.
And you're in a coastal area, you know, what is there any wisdom you can impart from the countless members of the media and also the people, the witnesses, people who have lived through it? What advice would you give people, you know, when they're looking at one of these cones?
Well, the cone is very confusing. The cone is just the eye. And there's, the bigger the storm, the more the effects are outside that cone.
Right.
And what I've been seeing over the years, 2 to 3 days out, usually the outliers end up being correct. And Beryl is another example. Ian, 2 or 3 days out, the outer edges were Fort Myers, right? Irma, 2 or 3 days out, it was hitting the East Coast, barely hitting the East Coast, and Naples got it. I can go on and on and on. So I think we can't focus on the center of that cone. And I got data to show people that the outliers end up being right more than wrong. And when I say outliers, I mean, let's say you get 10 spaghetti models, but you have one or two way over here. Sometimes those are the ones that end up being correct. And it's the weather that's always changing. So I think, you know, don't ever turn your back on these things and expect these things to intensify. I mean, I can't tell you, like Idalia last year, they weren't expected to be anything. It turned into a major. So you're correct, Mike. It's just, I don't think they put the worst case scenario out there enough, because these things do intensify more, it seems like.
You know, when you say something, when I get a golf lesson, I always try to get one thing that jumps out at me, and it just jumped out what you were saying. Expect them to intensify. That is something that I think the complacency, first of all, you want to see a community that's not complacent, see a community that's gotten a landfall of a Cat 3 or Cat 4.
Right.
There are no complacent people in Fort Myers, Florida anymore. Yeah. It doesn't exist. And I love that advice of expect them to intensify. Look at the models and look at all of the spaghetti models as far as where they think this thing's going to hit, and plan accordingly, like you would do if you knew you were going to get a direct hit, right? And right. do whatever you need to do. Get to an evacuation center, move inland, move out of the way. I had 3 separate hotel reservations that I changed in the 3 or 4 days prior to Ian hitting, and I ended up being on the east coast of the state when it hit. That's what I do. But do whatever you can, but count on these things.
Well,
you know,
and so one thing I've never experienced until this last storm Barrel was storm surge, and I really wanted to, because it's weird, but I wanted to be in it to see it. And it, I don't know if you saw any of my videos, but we got trapped on a bridge. CNN, Aaron Burnett had one on, and it was, I really wasn't trapped, but the water, the road that we came out of this Sargent Beach community in Texas, the road that we were on ended up underwater in a matter of an hour. And it looked like a raging river. Like, you know, so the storm surge comes in so fast. And I did an aerial drone shot, and so many homes were flooded out there that the locals told me that they've had a Cat 1 in the past and it didn't even do anything. So again, every storm's different, but this storm surge comes in so quick. And what if we didn't have that bridge, you know, we would have been not drowned, but you know, our truck would have been everything. I don't know where we would have went. There's no higher ground. So that, you know, you got to think about your exits, because you might be safe now, but if there's only one way out, you know, in Florida, there's a lot of times, and where I live in Pinellas, we have these causeways. Those causeways go underwater. The bridge might be not underwater, but the causeway is. And that's what I just experienced.
Sanibel, great example. Sanibel Island, I know, that we had.
So I saw that. So don't, you know, get the hell out. You know, like you mentioned, 80% of deaths are water related.
Yep, surge related.
And the smartest advice that we've all learned from, and they're saying go tens of miles to evacuate anymore, not hundreds, because the storm likely will follow you. It's just get the heck away from the water, you know.
Get away from where the storm surge is going to be. And it isn't, you know, I mean, you're talking, tens of miles. You go 20 miles in the other direction of the coast, the odds are much better for you than, you know. But it's amazing how far inland down here in Southwest Florida, how far inland the water went. It was stunning, it was. You know.
Really. Yeah, well, the rivers. So, I got inside info before the storm. Our ground saturation was 98%, and there was a lot of worry about it. Ooh. And never thought about that. And,
right.
that water had nowhere to go. We had
that's another factor.
Yeah. And so yeah, and I mean, I-75 got covered, right?
Incredible. Incredible.
You know, I got stranded on River Road right there in Venice.
Well, you should have known from the name, Mike.
Let me tell you a little.
On Venice?
No, River Road.
Oh, River Road. Okay. Well, both work in that scenario. Right.
My best buddy, Phil, does all my emails and stuff. He's trying to get us out of there. Yeah, every road we were trying to leave Inglewood. I mean, we rode it out in Rotunda. It was a bad storm. So I was in the middle of Ian. And all of a sudden, the water starts rising, and we're on this road. We had a flashlight to look down and see the yellow line. And I'm like, what's the name? Where are we? And he told me this is North River Road. I'm like, what the hell would you pick a road called River Road? And we literally, like, it was hairy. I mean, yeah. In the moment, it's exciting, and I get all adrenaline pumping. But, man, I become a Debbie Downer. That's my joke now. When I used to be the guy I'd never say evacuate. But now I'm the opposite. I'm like, let me tell you, too, with Ian, looting, like, people don't realize the day after, man, there's boats showing up. You know, there's professional looting going on. Every 100% I saw had signs, you know, here to loot, we're here to shoot. You hear gunshots in the middle of the night. You see your neighbor's house across the street with flashlights, people rummaging through homes, and the smell, this mosquitoes, I mean, do you really want to stay for that? I mean,
You don't want to be. It's like, the purge is what it's like. It's,
you can find all this stuff at facebook.com/ Mike's Weather Page, which is really cool. Congratulations. This is your 20th year, if my math is
right.
Yes,
correct.
What have you seen change? What is the biggest change you've seen in the science in the 20 years you've been covering this?
I think it's gotten a little worse. I don't know. The modeling is not as accurate as it used to be. I think maybe there's too much thought. I mean, we used to look at 10-day models, and they used to be pretty darn good. Now, like, even the Euro was so wrong the last time. So it's made
– almost like too many chefs, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, or Mother Nature is just trickier than we think. There was a storm last year that hit Mexico, Acapulco, called Otis, that not one model predicted this thing to be a hurricane. Turned into a Cat 5 overnight, and it decimated Acapulco. Like – there wasn't even one model, and that's scary. That was last year.
That is.
Mike, if we can, I'd love to get you on, again. You're going to have a lot of people probably that knock on your door, but can we implore you to come back on when we maybe, I hate to say it, when eventually we're dealing with another one of these, which we will. We'd love to have you back on. And Mike's weather page is rocking. Rob, you've got all the info for that. Share that with our audience so we know where people go
for that. It's very easy to do. Facebook.com/ Mike's weather page. And you can find all this stuff there, and it's a great source. Mike, thank you for your time.
TikTok's my second biggest now. Can you believe it?
Really? And the daily, I see the daily brew here. What's that? What's the daily brew?
I do a live show every day. Usually chat an hour. You know, we mingle. We talk what's coming ahead. I do these little 90-second reels that are really big now when there's a storm. So there's a lot of data. You know, I spread it all out. But it is fascinating. The younger generation is clinging to this TikTok thing. And I'll get kids now and they're teens like, hey, I follow you on TikTok. So that's another change I've noticed is the love of weather to a younger audience, not on Facebook. So, it's important. Every platform has its own niche. And I think hitting that is the new change that we need to adapt to.
Well, I love talking to you. I mean, really, it's so fascinating and you're so down to earth. And it really is a fascinating subject and something we all have to be more aware of. Mike's weather page. Mike, we really appreciate it. Mike Boylan, thank you. Where exactly is Oldsmar? Is that near Bradenton?
I was born in Bradenton.
You were born in Bradenton. Okay.
Oldsmar is the top of the bay. It's right next to Tampa, basically, to the west. Okay. So we're sandwiched between Clearwater and Tampa.
Yeah, and that's
the worst flooding. If we ever get hit with one, we're in the worst area because all that water shows up the bay right to
Tampa Bay, right? Just sucks into Tampa Bay. And
it was founded by Oldsmobile, a little tidbit, which is amazing.
Oldsmar was?
Yeah.
Do you drive an Oldsmobile?
No.
But, don't think they make them anymore, do they?
I don't think they do. I'm talking about a vintage one, maybe. Right?
Of course.
All right, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
We will continue to follow you. Thanks for being so generous with your time. And check out Mike's weather page on Facebook and TikTok and everywhere else. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you coming on the show.
So long.
Boy, that's great. It's what we live down here in Florida. It's the way it always goes. And you know,
I found him on TikTok, but not for weather, for his dancing videos. And they
okay. All right, there he is. You could. And I know. As soon as you heard Otis, I know you wanted to do a Mayberry. I know you. I know you.
Mike, you're wrong. I thought of my mom's dog.
Oh, Otis.
He's a good boy up
He's
in heaven.
He's a take a poop in heaven.
Otis has been dead since we've been working together.
So long time.
He is, Otis, up in heaven. We appreciate that.
You know, can I just share a moment I had? There's a place that's called, what is it called? Doc Ford's. It's a chain, local chain of restaurants here, and they have them. There's one on Sanibel.
Is it a fish place?
It's a fish joint, and it's okay, it's right on Estero Bay, right on right over the causeway, before you get to Fort Myers Beach. And one of the greatest experiences I had, and Rob, you remember when I went down to Fort Myers Beach and I took that video?
Yes.
And I took all those pictures, and the storm surge came in, and there were these huge shrimp boats, steel-hulled shrimp boats that were lifted up and thrown a half a mile inland into the parking lot. It was stunning. Probably not half a mile. Probably a few hundred yards. But they're
still,
all
so akimbo. Out of context. Yeah,
they're all akimbo, and it was the early reports on this is that the Fort Myers Beach shrimp business has been destroyed. It will not come back. I'm sitting with my kid and my wife, and we're on the water, and we're looking across, and we have a beautiful bird's eye view of all the shrimp boats, all at their docks now, and all of them working. The greatest shrimp in the world, you come down here. That's a little thing you never hear about Fort Myers Beach. Come down here, try our shrimp. It's the best. And it's just great to see the resiliency of people and how people bounce back from these hurricanes. And you heard what he said. Expect them to intensify. I don't care what you do. Everybody down here likes generators. And Josh is a Floridian, too. They like generators, and they like hurricane shutters, and they like storm
Josh,
windows and all that stuff.
Do you have a generator, Josh?
I have a small one.
I don't.
Okay. Enough to get us on the air?
Yeah, about that. You know, plug in the fridge and the computer.
I'll be on the road in a motel somewhere, so I'll be able to do it.
But I have the advantage that I'm more inland.
So am I.
So, yeah.
So I still get out of Dodge, though, when these things are coming
I've left
in.
Once.
And I think that when you're talking about being inland, it's not necessarily imminent danger from the water. What it is the infrastructure. And when the power grid goes down, and when there's no gasoline and you're not able to get gas and you can't get an electric vehicle charged and you can't get drinking water and you can't do all that, that's another reason when these things are coming into town, get the hell out.
What Mike
air
said
on the side of that.
That I can't believe we've never really approached before is the post-hurricane looting. That's horrifying.
There were two things my my friends over in Sanibel dealt with, and three actually. The looting initially, a lot of that went on. The other thing, when people were trying, the causeway was taken out by Hurricane Ian, and people that lived over at Sanibel wanted to get over there to check on their homes, and these guys in in flatboats or any kind of boat were charging exorbitant, it's literally a mile across to get over to Sanibel, and they were charging $1,000 to ferry somebody over to get there.
Because at least I know I'm free.
the American way.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, unscrupulous contractors. If you go down to the beach area, still make sure somebody's got a light, because they would come in, say, we'll help you out. Can you give us a deposit for materials? And then they're gone. They're in the wind. So, you know, people pray on the people that have been through the most unimaginable tragedy they can possibly go through. And as you heard from Mike, who studies this in his unofficial capacity as a weather chaser, we're going to get more before we get less. And I do hope there's a little dip, but you never know. You don't know.
Well, I mean,
they
think
could
how
say
long
it and
it
then
takes,
we don't get them.
Think how long it takes for a pot of water to boil on your stove. This is the entire ocean that is going up degrees. It's going to take a long time and a lot of stuff to bring it down even just a couple degrees. That notion is mind-boggling to me.
It's funny. I see they're building a lot of apartment buildings down here in my area, and I see a couple of them being stick-built, which means made out of wood, and you just look up there, and I kind of shake my head and go, you know, Cat 4, those aren't going to be
I bet they're heavily insured. Mike, about
that's tough down here too.
This Doc Ford, is he a medical doctor?
I don't. Never had the privilege, you know. But I'll tell you
someday. Yeah,
you know, I'll give him a plug. If you come to Doc Ford's, which is a touristy kind of place,
sure,
ask for the Yucatan shrimp. It is the best shrimp dish down here.
Can you thumbnail it for me?
I love it. What's that?
Can you thumbnail? I mean, is it spiced? What is it?
It's a secret sauce. It's a secret recipe.
That you can eat.
You can eat. Okay, that's a good time. Always get to that. We always get to that segue, don't we?
We always do. It's always a good scene changer.
No, it is so good, Rob, but they won't tell me exactly what's in it. But it's really peel and eat shrimp that are in a sauce.
Yes.
And you pick them up and you can eat them.
Do they serve with rice or anything?
French bread.
I like to eat French bread.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. Oracle.com/bandwidth.
Did you know Americans pay about twice as much for their wine as the rest of the world? You might want to know why. I'll tell you why. Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big, phony margins. That's crazy. That's why you pay a lot for wine, people. Listen up. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a box of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. Go to nakedwines.com/TMOS and click Enter Voucher in the top right when you get to the website. Then enter TMOS for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. NakedWines.com/TMOS and use the code and password TMOS to grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. NakedWines.com/TMOS. Remember, code and password TMOS for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Cheers, Alfred Baldy.
Cheers. Mike has prepared a newscast for us.
Thank you. Hit the thing. Where's the
thing?
Do
the thing.
Play the thing. There.
There it is.
Obsessive compulsive. That way. We start today with Clooney. And got to talk about this because it's very real. It's a big day for El Presidente because he's giving his unscripted, unteleprompted news conference.
This is the big boy press conference we've heard about, right?
Yeah. The big boy. George Clooney has called on President Biden to drop out of the race. He's a super Dem fundraiser celebrity. In an op-ed for The New York Times, he said, quote, "Joe Biden is a hero. He saved democracy in 2020. We need him to do it again in 2024 by stepping down." Clooney says he loves Biden and considers him a friend, but he's losing the fight against time. And he proved that at the debate. In his subsequent ABC interview at a fundraiser Clooney hosted. So this is not only the interview he bases this on with George Stephanopoulos, but it's the debate, which we all saw. And then he had personal contact with Biden, Clooney did, at a fundraiser. And the people who are standing by the president aren't helping. He says our party leaders need to stop telling us that 51 million people didn't see what they just saw. I agree. I really do.
But don't you think this is kind of a dick move, though?
No.
Well, the Biden team has responded to George Clooney.
What did the Biden team say? They're circling the wagon.
They said, who's George Clooney?
No. Their response was that George left the fundraiser 3 hours before Biden. So Biden is stronger than Clooney.
So they're calling Clooney a liar now. That's desperation right there, in my humble opinion. I don't know.
That's a weak reply. But, I mean, if you are an influencer, and I don't mean this in the stupid TikTok way. I mean,
interrupt here? Even if Clooney was basing it on people that he spoke to that were at the fundraiser.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Look, we saw the debate. I saw the interview with George Stephanopoulos. I've seen the speeches. I'm just... It's sad.
Can he save it at this point, do you think?
No, I don't believe he can.
Damage has been done.
But I have to be full disclosure here. I believe that I support the people he has surrounded himself with that have done some really, really good work. And if push comes to shove, I've made my decision on that.
Sure.
I'm just talking about the administration, but I would much rather have it's not going to matter if he doesn't get elected. So... there's that.
But they've said that one of the signs of the great leader is to surround yourself with people that are smarter than you, better than you, get the best people on your team.
Yeah.
And I feel bad that this misstep has happened because he is a hero. He's a great president. He righted a ship that was wrong. But to come out and just say, well, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. Goodbye. It rubs me the wrong way.
It's ultimately his decision.
It is.
And I believe that. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of denial going on. And it comes right down to Biden and his wife. That's what I've always thought with that.
Listen,
on a related note, that wonderful moment for democracy during the debate when Biden and Trump argued like children over their golf handicaps.
Yes.
Well, Trump has now challenged Biden to an 18-hole, $1 million charity golf match. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
now America's going to be okay.
Biden's team also responded to that and said they don't have time for games.
Yeah, and that we can all agree on, I think, really. Yeah. Come on. Ellen DeGeneres is quitting showbiz.
She's out.
After her final Netflix special airs later this year, during a recent show, she said, quote, "This is the last time you're going to see me. After my Netflix special, I'm done." She's been through it. I can relate. To a degree. When a fan asked her if
she'd... So are you quitting after your Netflix special, Mike?
I don't know. When a fan asked her if she'd ever voiced Dory from Finding Nemo again, God, she said, no, I'm going bye-bye. She has more money than Jesus, so she's...
Well, she's doing fine, and also her reputation has taken some deep plunges in the past 10 years because
and when you go through that scrutiny and you go through that, I don't know what really went down on the set of her show and behind the scenes where she was apparent, a lot of people called her a monster to work with.
No eye contact, all that stuff. Yeah.
It is a pressure cooker to be in the public eye at that level. And, who knows? I think if you've got a way to avoid that nastiness for yourself, you say thanks but no thanks. She's made us laugh a lot and done some fun things and some.
She's going to keep one element of her career alive. She's going to continue doing Ellen's Hurricane Page.
That'll be exciting. I am looking forward to that. Well, here's another person that's had some problems lately. Part two of Kevin Costner's Horizon, an American saga, has been pulled from its release date. Because the first one bombed. It was supposed to hit theaters on August 16th, but now it's off indefinitely. The plan is still to release it in theaters. Kevin and the other producers are trying to give the first movie more time to catch on with audiences. It hits streaming platforms next week. I will watch.
Should I have heard of this Horizon?
You haven't?
No.
It's the saga that he left Yellowstone for. You didn't watch Yellowstone either.
No, I watched some Yellowstone, and it was fine.
Oh, but when he left, you sit there with some popcorn and watch Singing in the Rain. You're not watching the contemporary
stuff. Oh, Mike, I have to now apologize to everyone for having things that I like. But let me ask you this.
Yes.
I knew that he left Yellowstone, and I knew he was doing another project, and I just called it Yellowstone, which is not right. Mm-hmm. Yellowstone, this horizon.
He left Yellowstone because this was his passion project
that he wanted to devote more time to. It released, and it was a bomb. I didn't even know it released.
It was a bomb to critics. Audiences liked it.
Okay. That's why I want to make
Rotten Tomatoes right now, it's got a 48% by critics and a 71% by audience.
There you go. So I'm going to look in because I like Kevin Costner Westerns. Dances with Wolves, one of my favorite movies. Part one of Horizon cost about $100 million to make, including $38 million of Costner's own money. It's only made about $22 million over its first week and a half. So it's only been out a short time, Rob. You know?
Yeah, okay. So maybe that's
you don't care. You're not going to watch it. You're going to watch Donald O'Connor dance. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, because Because he's such a horrible dancer? Don't demean Donald O'Connor.
What's the movie? Damn it. I'm trying to pull it right now.
That's
entertainment. That's entertainment.
Great film, Mike. It saved MGM.
Debbie Reynolds. Anyway.
I knew her.
Not now. That rich aunt of yours might not leave you as much money as you think. This is pretty out there. At least if she falls into this category of weirdo. The idea of being cryogenically frozen when you die has been gaining steam among rich people for years. But who wants to live forever if you wake up dirt poor, huh?
Am I right, ladies? This is true.
Bloomberg just did a big article on how, financial planners are trying to figure out how to preserve your fortune as well as your body. You can't leave yourself money when you die, and most states have limits on how long trust funds can last. In a lot of states, it's around 100 years. Florida is the longest at 1,000.
1,000 years? Seriously?
1,000 years.
You got to get out of that place.
Those planners are figuring out how to create something called a revival trust. One estate lawyer says he's working with around 100 clients. 100 wizened, nasty, greedy clients.
Smithers.
Who want to be frozen. Well, I want every dime. Don't give any of it to my children. And make sure, Smithers, get me the ice bath. Anyway, the first thing they're worried about is having enough. Oh, God. Really? But they want to wake up still rich? It gets complicated when you parse out the different ways you could be revived. Like, are you the same person if they thaw out your brain?
Gross.
This is people. I mean, when you go, you go. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Do you have any interest if when you die, and God, you know, God bless you. I hope it's a long time from now.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Right back at you.
Yeah, I know how much you mean it. When you die, do you want to come back?
I know. I
don't. I when it's done,
if they kept my brain alive and I would be able to experience what the future is like, I don't know. We know it's one of the great mysteries.
Josh is going to keep your brain alive just for the podcast, but we don't want the body.
Josh is a religious individual. He is a believer and has a great deal of faith, which my mother had, and that it means that you know if you're messing with this, you're ignoring the fact that there's a reward afterwards, which for many Americans is a big deal. So I don't know. I'm not a definitive answer on that.
If you're thinking far enough ahead that you're leaving yourself money when you die, you might not be getting a reward. You might be going to hell.
This is also all based on science that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. It's based on if they somehow being frozen, it'll be like a shrimp putting it in a dish.
I would like a nice big plate of Yucatan Mike.
Yucatan Mike. There's a 76-year-old guy in Michigan. He's trying to plan for life after death. He's putting $100,000 in a revival trust. Never even heard of that. The rest is going to his daughter and a foundation he set up. So you could have a rich aunt that wants to keep it all, but maybe she could give you some money even in death.
At what point do they give up on revival? Like that $100,000, does it just sit there?
It's the same. It would be given up on just the same way your memory goes away, which is very sad. I think about death at my advanced age more than most people. And when you get to great grandparent level, after that, you're not even a memory.
Right, but
it's sad, but it's true. Unless you're Ben Franklin or something.
The bank holding that $100,000 is not going to forget you.
No, No, but they'll steal it and keep it.
Well, will they pay interest on it, though? I imagine a good revival trust will be earning money while you're dead.
You know what? Just continue to walk in the path of the Lord. That's what I say to everyone. All right? And I mean that. A dealership in Connecticut, a car dealership, is in a world of hurt after a couple of employees pulled a Ferris Bueller and took a rare 2018 Chevy Camaro out for a joyride and totaled it. The Camaro only had 989 miles on it, and the owner had taken it to the dealership for some kind of service. He gave explicit instructions that the car was not to leave the lot. That didn't happen. Its service advisor and another employee took the car out. Had a mustache with a ponytail. And
I know that the service, it couldn't have been an oil change because you only get them every 3,000 miles.
Exactly. The car had been appraised at $97,000.
By who?
By the appraisals, the people. It's a vintage car. Nah. And it was a complete loss. The driver was ticketed in the crash, but the dealership is in much bigger trouble. The Camaro owner has filed a lawsuit against them. There's no word on the damages, but it's probably safe to say they exceed $100,000, ladies and gentlemen.
I bet it was a red car.
Little red Camaro. finally today, a person in Pueblo County, Colorado, about 100 miles south of Denver, has been infected with bubonic plague.
Oh. Of all the plagues, Mike, bubonic is my least favorite.
A spokesperson for the Pueblo Department of Public Health and Environment said in an email Tuesday morning, it was bubonic plague. Earlier announcements had been more general, stating that it was just old plague without the bubonic.
Like just like a standard old plague? What is that?
I don't know. The infection was initially reported on Friday. The department said the person was hospitalized for bubonic plague. Let's see. But their condition improved. Because plague is endemic locally, it's hard to pinpoint the source of the infection. Bubonic plague, which wreaked havoc during historic pandemics across Europe and Asia, is caused by the Yersinia pestis bacterium. It is transmitted by fleas, often carried by rodents in the wild, including rats and prairie dogs. Plague occurs when infected fleas bite people or when humans touch or skin an infected animal. Well, no need to worry. Who touches rats anyway?
Mike, you own a rat. Rat-eating snake.
No. My rats are sanitized. They're defleed before I feed them to the snake. We have to take a break.
I was just thinking that maybe your weight loss was based on plague all of a sudden.
Are you ready for a Mike Douglas Tiger Woods moment on the show, Rob Spiewak? Are you ready for a prodigy?
I love when you bring Mike Douglas moments to the show.
Well, it's the only one I can remember where a little kid was kind of a prodigy. This is from bowling last night. I have video evidence of a five-year-old who is a bowler. You're not going to believe this. It's the coolest thing to watch. Nobody could bowl last night. We'll be right back with more on this, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, I want to talk to you about it's happening. Yeah, it's happening. TMOS is returning to Las Vegas for our grand reunion weekend. Saturday, November 9th, come be a part of a live poolside taping of your favorite podcast. That's us on the elegant rooftop citrus deck of the downtown Grand Hotel. But that ain't all. Take the whole weekend and be part of our exclusive slots and blackjack tournaments, the Ladies of TMOS brunch, special discounted hotel rates, limited edition swag, plus lots of fun. Grab your tickets and more info at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We're going to take over the whole hotel. We're going to be there. We're going to see you in the hallway. We're going to see you on the pool deck. We're going to see you in the casino. We're going to see you in the bars. We're going to see you everywhere. It's going to be big fun. Yes, the health club. Well, Carla might be down there. No better way to reunite with your TMOS family and no better place to do it. Join us as we take over the downtown Grand Hotel the weekend of November 9th. We can't wait to see you. Josh Soroka, any updates on what's going on? Anything I left out?
VIP is sold out, but there's plenty of regular tickets available. Hotel info is available if you go to the MikeO'MaraShow.com store. That's where you can buy tickets. Buy t-shirts, and there's a button that says hotel info. Click on that to get your room rates.
And by the way, Carrie bought a new bathing suit.
That's very, very exciting. And general admission tickets You're going to have great seats. It's going to be an
intimate
gathering.
Not a bad seat in the house.
It's not a ridiculously large crowd, so we're very, very excited about that. So get your tickets. Get them now, and get your discounted hotel rates, too, at the Downtown Grand Hotel, where we always have a tremendous amount of fun. All right, I want to talk about this little guy. Last night was bowling night at downtown Fort Myers, where Mrs. O'Meara and I like to roll in and have our little Wednesday night getaway.
Were both brothers on your team there?
No, the one brother isn't doing the summer league because he bowls with his family. No, he has not passed.
Okay.
Ben bowls with his family, but we got Bill last night. Bill was back, but we got our asses kicked. I had one decent game. But there is a kid. It's the second week I've been there where I've seen this little guy. He's 5 years old, and his name is Jace. And Jace is the talk of the bowling alley.
Number one name in Florida. Did you know that for children?
Jace. Yes, it is.
Yes. And boys and girls.
Both. Thank you. Carla got some video of Jace bowling. Now, when you see this kid, it looks like he's just randomly throwing a bowling ball until you see the ball curve and the results and what he's able to do. I'm blown away by this little guy. Do we have some video of Jace? Let's see Jace. There he is. There's the leader right next to her. All right, see him throw that down? All right, you're thinking, oh, gutter ball, and watch. There it goes. Bingo. That's Jace. Knocking him down.
He just throws it down.
It's going right into the gutter. Do we have another one of young Jace?
We do.
Okay, let's watch Jace. Here he is again. There, see him just throw it down. Now watch this. Gonna try to pick up the spare. Look at this. He picks up the spare at the far end of the lane. There he is. He's such a cute kid.
Now we're sure he's not someone who suffers from dwarfism. This is an actual child.
Rob, behave yourself.
And
please.
Here's a third one where I think you can really see the spin of the ball.
Okay, great. Watch this. This is cool. This is super cool. I love watching this. There he goes again. All right, this is another trying to pick up the spare here. All right, so he's going for the two on the right.
Right.
And boom!
Wow.
There he is. Almost picked up the spare with that one. Do we have any more of Jace's little videos here?
I can pull up more.
Yeah, there's one who gets a strike, which is fun to watch. Carla took a lot of video of this kid last
year. Have a three or four step.
I was confused at first getting a bunch of video of some strange kid sent to me.
She didn't explain it?
There was after the 10 videos came in.
Oh, okay. I get it. All right.
Well, so normally you have a three or four step delivery. He's got about a 40-step delivery.
Here we go. This is another pickup. Watch the pickup of the spare here. Boom. Look at that thing. Bingo. Look at his little wristband. Wrist tape that he has there.
I'm watching him. He throws the ball down and in front, but because I don't think he's using the holes, so I think he's actually putting the spin on the ball.
He holds it like this, and he spins. Yeah. And there, I was told that there are some bowlers that actually do it like that. You know, there are lots of different ways now that people bowl, and some people actually do that kind of push forward and get the spin.
I know you pretty well, Mike.
Yes.
Did you try that style last night?
I was talked out of it after the third.
But you were about to. You were going to go up there and just throw the ball down.
But I have to tell. And Josh, if you find any other ones you want to pop
on
there,
I'm looking for the strike now.
Please do.
I believe that's the one I'm pulling up now.
Okay. Let's say one last. Video of Jace at the bowling alley last night, and got Jace's. There he is, getting his bowling ball. I love this kid. Look at him. Getting ready to go. There he goes. The ball weighs more than he does.
Yeah, I agree.
His head.
Right, here we go. This is Carla. He's shaky on the count now. Zooms in. Right, let's see. Here it comes. And
that's
there it is.
There a wicked is. Hook. I mean, he is literally on the edge of the gutter, and it comes back in right in the pocket.
Oh, I love that kid. Yeah, really. I give him the high five right there. Really, really good job, Jace. Now. That's not the only story from the bowling alley last
night. But wait, there's more.
This is exciting for me. This really, really is. Last night at the bowling alley, we got there super early, and I'm like, oh, God, there's nothing to do. Carla was going to get something to eat, but I used my calories for the day, and I knew there was going to be some alcohol involved.
What did she get to eat at the bowling alley? Bowling alleys can be
big. I literally don't remember. I don't remember what she had.
Did she get sushi?
I know that disappoints you that I get sushi. Sushi. But you know what they have in the bowling alley, Rob, in the back right corner, in the dingy little right corner of the bowling alley?
I'm afraid to ask.
Mm-hmm.
slot machine.
Oh, no! No, 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 no.
Guess who went home? Jesus, that's loud. Guess who went home with a little extra cash in his sock?
First of all, that's gross to put cash in your sock, because I used to work at a Safeway where people did that.
Oh,
but
I'm so addicted. I really am. It's
is it a proper slot machine, or does it give you a voucher that you need to cash out with the guy at the desk?
You have to go to the bar and cash out your voucher.
Like,
but it's still
like the slot machine in my 7-Eleven.
Yeah,
it's
but
not
it's still
great.
Well, $200 is great, isn't it? For a $20 investment, right?
You'll give it back.
I'll give it back, but it's nice to, you know, you've rolled the bones before.
I know. It's just I feel that it's predatory. How many slot machines do they have?
Maybe four little ones.
Okay, we'll see.
The Buffalo one is out for service. I can't wait till that comes.
God,
in next week.
My stepmom Kathy loves to play Buffalo.
I will be getting back to. I think we'll be arriving early now. It's a new dimension. So not only do we have a child prodigy. Not only do we have a child prodigy, but we have we have slots now. It's fantastic. Oh, and the Red Sox A's was on the television. I said, this is like the greatest place I've ever been, even though I think the Sox lost last night, Josh, did they?
I'd have to double check. I'm not sure.
But it doesn't matter if the Red Sox lose.
Like he doesn't know exactly what happened.
The Orioles lost. I know that.
They do. Oh,
and I know,
okay.
You just won't have to bowl anymore on bowling night.
Yeah, I know.
You're just going to go.
Which will help my team enormously. It was one good game, and then the rest was disaster. So bowling fun from everybody. We got to take a break.
Mike, I'm excited that you found that. I want you to keep us up to date each week of what happens.
What, my slots or my bowling?
Your slots. You're right now 200 plus, and that's nice.
Okay. Rob, do you want to do Circle of Trash when we come back?
Yes, got to talk about it.
Circle of Trash, ladies and gentlemen, because here at the Mike O'Meara Show, it's hurricanes, it's child prodigies, and it's really refuse. That's what we do on this show. Some might say it's a lot of refuse each and every day.
I refuse about it.
In a world filled with distractions, like slot machines, child prodigies, Bowling
with children named Jace.
It is truly refreshing to find something wonderful, and because life can be overwhelming.
It
Introducing
can be.
Magic Mind. It's the mental performance shot. See, I got to take it. So
he's opening it now. He keeps it chilled, you know.
It's revolutionizing productivity with mushroom nootropics. I'm going to have some of them right now.
Yep. Mike is taking a shot. He does it in two sips. That's the first sip. And here comes
nootropics, adaptogens, essential vitamins.
You fooled me. The second. It's delicious. Is it not delicious?
Magic Mind helps you stay focused, clear, productive, while reducing stress. What sets Magic Mind apart? It's backed by over 200 scientific studies and was developed over 10 years. Magic Mind is crafted with precision and care with organic ingredients, time-released caffeine, and stress-reducing herbs. It's the key to unlocking your full potential. Plus, with a risk-free guarantee, it's never been easier to experience the magic for yourself. Unlock your full potential with Magic Mind. Right now, there is a limited-time offer that gets you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off a one-time purchase with code TMOS at checkout. Claim it at Magic Mind. There it is, that nice little shot right there. MagicMind.com/TMOS. Now, you were talking about refuse.
Yes.
Trash. What is happening with your trash collection?
Well, no, it's not my trash collection. It's do you remember in the Lion King, the Circle of Life?
Oh, yeah.
I believe in my neighborhood there is a circle of trash because some years ago, you've been to my home.
Yes.
And the kitchen is connected to like a family room, and it's a good area. It's a good space.
Right.
And by Carrie's desk, there is a spot where we have through the
years.
It's
an adobe, by the way, for those of you that don't know. It's made out of like a mud compound.
Yeah, and that's why the drought has been great for us. The walls are so hard.
Mm-hmm.
When it rains, they get gummy.
Yeah, so, because you didn't seal it possibly.
No. Thompson's water seal.
It didn't work for that product, so it really
becomes
a little
muddy. And how's the mulch?
Mulch is done. Mulch is beautiful.
That's fantastic. Good. You're a homeowner.
Yeah. Thanks for holding that and shaking it in your mouth like a figure eight, Josh, like a pit bull. From 4 months ago. It's done. But
Happy birthday, Carrie, or what is it? Happy Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. The Mother's Show.
The Mother's Show. You're being silly.
The Mommy Show.
Or as Robert once wrote on a Mother's Day card, Happy Birthday, Mom.
Happy Birthday, Mom.
So there's an area where we have had a table. At one point, we had like a dining room table. It was a bit of a tight fit, but it was great because, you know, if you want to sit down and eat, you can eat there. And we also
you don't want to put the couch in there.
No. So Carrie has, we got rid of our proper dining room table. We got rid of this round dining table. And what she did is about probably 4 or 5 years ago, spent $40 and bought a high, almost like a bar, a pub table.
I know what you're talking about.
Square.
High top.
Yeah, and with four
chairs. We call
chairs.
Them in the bar business high tops and low tops.
And they are extraordinarily uncomfortable, and I don't like sitting up high when I eat, and you can't use
because you're a man of larger carriage, that's
why. It's true. Yeah, the gravity pulls my ass.
I mean, really, when you and I, back when we were really heavy, when we go into a restaurant, we don't want to sit at a high top.
No, you want
to
boost.
Our legs hanging down. We want to...
You know it's true.
I'm sorry, that will not do. Can I have the banquette, please?
Can I have the booth, and can you give me one with an unattached table?
Unattached table and a place for me to put my leg up, to elevate my leg.
Go ahead. This bar, this high top, this pub table has been there for, well, you know, 4 or 5 years. I think we paid like literally $40 for it. We had to go pick it up. It was a little beat up. It looked okay. You know what it looked? It looked like someone had antiqued it. It looked like it might have been beat up on purpose.
Right.
But I never liked it because Carrie really just sees it as another surface to put stuff on. And I like a clean kitchen. I will let her slide on a lot of things. But as you know, I am a certified kitchen manager in Montgomery County, and I like a clean kitchen. Well, she says, I want to get rid of the pub table. I said, great. We can throw it away this week. She says, no, I'm going to put it on Facebook Marketplace. And I said, I don't know that we can get anything for something that we really just, when we bought it, we were saving someone from going to the trash. We paid them $40 so we could take it away for them.
This is the same thing about selling the pipes that I might do.
Yeah, so we put it on Facebook Marketplace, and we put it up for $20, which means we basically rented this thing for 5 years for $20. Five people responded, and yesterday someone came and bought our trash for $20. But
one man's trash, another person's trash. But it's not trash. It's a functional table. It works.
It does work.
It's not falling apart, right?
No, it's fine. But what they had to come, and it didn't fit in their Forerunner. And so they had to get from me an Allen wrench.
Can four people sit comfortably at this table?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably, I was going to say 4 foot square. Mm-hmm. And so I got them the Allen wrench, and this poor guy, he was older, and he said, oh, no, I'll take care of it. I said, just give me an Allen wrench. And I watched him for 20 minutes take the legs off this table, 8 bolts with an Allen wrench. And
Can I ask you about the construction of the furniture?
Yes.
See, we've all put together different furniture in America. We've all done that.
I have a past in furniture, you know.
I mean, I know that. When they came up with the joiners for furniture where you put like the little round
disc in with a quarter
inside
turn.
The wood so it's metal on metal as opposed to metal going into the pressed wood. With your Allen wrench, do you have that type of joinery
This was a metal, the cuff that held the bolt was sunk into the wood.
That's why it lasts.
Right. It's just
and
smart.
So it's in good shape. Nothing was broken?
No, but it took him forever as he was kneeling down on his 78-year-old knees on a mat from his car to undo it. And I said, let me – no, I got it.
Put $20 in your pocket that you didn't have before, huh?
That's true, but they got it, and the wife was bossy. The wife was telling him how to do it. She says, are you
sure? Were they older or younger?
Older, 78, he identified himself as.
God bless him, they're on a fixed income, Rob.
I'm sure she found it on Marketplace and dragged him over to do it.
Yeah, it's exactly, you nailed it. But the greatest thing is, at one point, he was getting frustrated, because as you know, we're in the middle of a heat wave up here in Washington, D.C. I had carried the stuff down to the garage, so it was only 10 feet to carry it, and I helped him carry it to the car. But he's down there sweating, trying to get these bolts out with an Allen wrench. He says, honey, I think it's stripped. And she says, are you sure you're turning the bolt the right way?
Oh, no.
And then there was a pause that I saw myself in. No, he was. And I would have told him.
Was it stripped?
He just needed to change the size of the Allen wrench.
Okay.
But I saw myself in 20.
Allen wrenches.
I do too. I do too. But I saw myself, Mike, in 20 years
yeah.
with the look of anguish on his face when his wife said, are you sure you're turning it the right way?
It's like, that's die. Something, that's die, someone, lady, die.
There's a lady in this house that might ask the same question.
That's true. That's true. That's so. You know what? My greatest moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it was, but I know what it was. It was a stereo cabinet. And I was putting together, this was
glass doors,
cheap.
The worst.
It might have had the glass, but all I know is I'm putting the back together.
Yes.
And I put the top of it, which is a thick piece of pressed wood.
Right.
And then I'm putting the sides of the cabinet
thinner
together.
Thinner pressed wood.
Which is thinner pressed wood. And I put one, and it was freestanding. And I thought, mistakenly, that I could leave it freestanding whilst I got the other thin piece of wood for the back. And as I move over, I see it teeter forward, removing triangular chunks of pressed wood. And it's rendered like in one moment, it's rendered completely useless.
Exactly.
As it goes.
The cardboard back is the most important thing on a cheap, these bookshelves
yes.
behind me. If you don't have the cardboard
support
back,
it with the cardboard first.
It's going to accordion. So they finally get all this done. This poor lady, this poor man, I give them bottles of water. They do, once it's disassembled, it fits in kind of, because there's four tall chairs as well, so we've got to sort of marry them together, get them out the door. She says, I left your money on your trash can.
What kind of seats were they? Were they cushioned seats?
No, hardwood.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a bad deal for 20 bucks.
It's just, it was...
What did you hate about them?
I didn't like that they were high. There was discomfort.
Well, that's not quality, though. That's not a quality factor.
No, the quality is fine. And I'll tell you this, Mike, there was no pressed wood on this. It was all solid wood.
It's
just not anything fancy about it. But I was ready to throw it away, but someone bought it. And that is the circle of trash. There's always someone to take your trash and make it better. And then after all of this goes on with her, Carrie texting people.
Take your trash out and make it better.
Carrie's texting people and finding out when I can see them and am I going to be home and can I help them and can we move the table? I said, yes, 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 yes. Finally, we get it done. I text her that everything is done. She comes home, and the first thing she says to me yesterday is, that corner looks so empty.
Positive reinforcement, feedback. You know what? I will never get rid of my dining room table ever. It will stay here.
It's heavy.
Forever.
It's
I love heavy. It. I love it. You know what I love best about it?
What?
It's made of solid ivory. It really is.
Good for you.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's
right.
Why it'll never move.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I will never let the authorities in unless they
have
a search
warrant.
Have you ever
seen? You've not seen it, Josh. The legs are actually elephant feet.
Elephant feet.
The top is ivory.
Yeah. I mean, part wood, but the bottom are, you know, with the toenails. We'll be right back, everybody. It's a stupid show. Hats.
What? Hats.
Hats, elephant feet, hats.
There's one ivory of them right now.
Is that ivory? That somebody said, yeah, you're damn right it is.
Yeah.
Got it on
Shot
safari.
It myself.
These are great hats.
The best.
By popular demand, we now have extremely limited runs of the brand new TMOS Summer Cap, the ultimate accessory for fans who want to show their support while staying cool and protected from the sun. It's available in vibrant red, crisp white, classic light blue like this one, or sleek black. Ensuring there's a perfect match for everyone. Plus, tickets and merchandise for the Grand Reunion Las Vegas weekend and new t-shirts that you haven't seen yet. Don't miss the ultra-cool TMOS Challenge coin. We challenge you not to like it. So hurry up and support the show at the TMOS store. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming.
Yes.
TMOSstore.com, the source for all things Mike O'Mara Show. Official, authentic, and awesome. Thank you for your support. And remember our motto, Rob Spiewak.
If you don't buy it, we don't sell it.
That's it.
That's it,
our motto.
Baby. Let's
take
do
it away,
it.
Baby. Absolutely. Yes. Ivory.
I love it.
Toenails.
It goes with the Scrimshaw lamps that I have here.
The flip side.
Got them from a whaling captain in Marblehead, Massachusetts.
Mike, we've been together over 30 years. I don't think we've ever used the word Scrimshaw on this
Scrimshaw.
Show.
Scrimshaw. No, probably not. That's probably accurate. And yeah. We did it today. That's what I love about this show. Hey, Josh, I promise you that I will not burden you with constant calls about ticket sales for Las Vegas.
The best thing you can do, Josh, I've watched this before, just text him on a daily basis and get him off your back.
No,
we're in good shape.
I'm here to tell you, you don't need to do that. I am going to discipline myself and not be obsessive compulsive about
this. The way you disciplined yourself at the slot machine.
I promise you, Josh, shut up.
I'll tell you, the fact that VIP sold out so fast took a lot of stress off.
We're very excited, and but get them soon because it is a limited supply of tickets.
Very limited number. It's not like we can add them. This is the pool deck. I mean, this is what we got. Okay.
Yes. So, thank
Mike,
you.
we this week have already had the TMOS Criminal of the Week. It's very rare that we have them twice in a week. You remember, of course, Mr. Pancake, who was found with gerbils.
Saw him on the local news. Way to go, Scoop! You scooped the local news here in Fort Myers.
You remember that Mr. Pancake had gerbils in his pants.
Yeah, he wasn't happy when they were slapping the handy dandy wrist warmers on him.
So let's go to Mike up to New Hampshire. Kenobi Lake Park is it's an amusement park, and they have a lazy river. And our villain of the week, our criminal of the week, is up there in New Hampshire, and he gets to be the criminal of the week based on two things, not his name this time. It is his crime and his mugshot.
A day of fun at Kennedy Lake Park turned uncomfortable for some families on Wednesday.
There was a male subject there who was completely naked.
That man was later identified as 74-year-old John Carabello from Somerville, Mass. Police say he'd been lying out naked by the wade pool for several minutes around 6 p.m.
A number of people had seen this, including children, and that they had reported that to the staff, who then reported
I know.
Police.
When officers got there, they arrested him.
Yes.
When the officer arrived, he spoke to the individual. The individual was an older gentleman from Somerville. He was arrested for indecent exposure, and he was so intoxicated that later he was taken to the jail to protective custody.
Police say they believe he'd been drinking for a while.
There he is. You know what?
What?
Are you like me that, you know, when you see somebody do something like that, the severely intoxicated part, at least there's a reason, right? Maybe by some chance he wakes up in the morning full of regret. I certainly hope so.
He did apologize, but the police did say that there he is.
If he wasn't drunk and he went to the hooscow, in prison lingo, he qualifies, even though he didn't touch anybody, as a diaper sniffer. And the diaper sniffers they don't do well in prison.
No, they're hated. Gentlemen. They are hated.
It looks like an AI-generated photo if you just put in a description of what the guy's crime was.
Yeah, it's a genuine photo, and he did apologize, but the police say they're trying to enforce now people that start drinking before they get to the park. That must have been the problem.
Yeah, what we call those? Pre-gamers.
This shirt even looks like a guy that would take it off quickly.
Yeah, yes. It looks almost like it might be terry cloth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Stay away. Stay away from the naked man. That is so
well,
gross.
Congratulations on having two criminals of the week in 1 week. The Simpsons have been on forever. I don't watch them anymore.
Smithies.
But I did for many years. And because they've been on for, I guess, over 30 years now, they've made many predictions that have come true.
Okay.
This is perhaps one of the most obscure. Before you watch this clip from 28 years ago on The Simpsons.
28 years.
This week, Cypress Hill. The band. By the way, when I was in jail, Cypress Hill had been carved into the paint of my cell. The word Cypress Hill. So that's something
a big fan?
Should always remember. I didn't do it, but I'm sure the person who preceded me did. But anyway, Cypress Hill. They predicted that they would play at the LSO. The LSO, the London Symphony Orchestra. How silly is that? That, you know, the Cypress Hill would play with an orchestra. The Simpsons joked about it 28 years ago, but this week it came to pass that Cypress Hill played with the LSO at the Royal Albert Hall. Let's go to the tape from 28 years ago.
Bands, who is playing with the London Symphony Orchestra? Come on, people, somebody order the London Symphony Orchestra. possibly while high. Cypress Hill, I'm looking in your direction.
There they are.
Orchestra?
What's up with this orchestra, man?
Where'd the orchestra come from?
I don't know, man.
They didn't tell me about this, man. We gotta do something.
Yeah, we think we did. Do you know Insane in the Brain?
We mostly know classical, but we could give it a shot.
There you go.
That's it. They got it right. And Cypress Hill as themselves.
What did you carve in the wall when you were in the joint?
Help me.
Yes. Josh, you were going to say something.
Well, Cypress Hill has said that since that episode aired 28 years ago, that every year or 2 years, they talk about how to make it happen.
Oh, so they finally did.
That's
awesome. I love that. That's great.
Mike, don't go to Canadian airports. They're bad.
Now, is this because of your general discrimination against
proof
the Canadians?
I have proof here. They're not good at handling baggage. Let's say that you're, I believe it was Vancouver, and you're shipping eels. They might let your eels escape. This is on the tarmac. Just eels everywhere. How gross is that?
It's like a horror movie. Where are they coming from? Oh, the box!
The box busted open.
Do you think they're for, like, food?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't like... The only eel I like is...
On my eye, off the side.
Oh, I'm sorry. The only eel I like is Kim Jong-il.
That's Un, dude.
Oh, sorry, Kim Jong-un.
Because, you know, sushi, right? Don't they have eel in sushi? And by the way, you know, for sushi lovers, I eat eel all the time, and it's kind of creepy when you really think about it. Eels.
It's gross.
Snakes of the sea.
Mike, did you celebrate 4th of July up in Providence there?
Yeah, went over there. You know, we went to Providence, took some a beach day down to Mesquamacan and East Beach, then rolled up, drove by those expensive homes in Newport. And then ended up at Newport, and ended up in Providence.
Providence has something for the 4th. They call it Fire on the River. And they
fire
go down to the river.
On the river.
Yeah, and you can take boats on the river and see the fireworks. But do you think a rabbit can swim? I know we'd really tackle the
what
big
a great question
because
I'm trying to think. I don't think so. No.
Well, then you might be right because this lady.
Their bottoms are too heavy, right?
She jumped into the river to save a rabbit.
It's a woman who probably didn't think twice.
I saw a large
splash.
This guy.
The woman jumped into the water over here by the Steeple Street Bridge. Then
that's a gondola.
Over to this wall where she got the bunny out, but then realized she didn't
have
to
land mine
herself.
They're not landmines.
Christine Mano and the crew to the rescue.
Well,
here's
we got the
crew.
Phone call that there was a rabbit in the river. But as we're coming down through Citizens area, my first mate looked and she said, that's not a rabbit, that's a person.
Smart.
Was it a rabbit or a person?
The woman jumped in to save the rabbit.
And was she successful?
She was successful and everyone is still alive. Would you jump in a river to save a rabbit?
Hell no. I would be worried that it would bite me with its little Bugs Bunny teeth.
And don't worry about it because rabbits can swim.
They can. That's why Josh is here.
This is brilliant.
This level of engagement with the new incarnation of the Mike O'Mara Show pleases me. There's been a lot of great stuff on this show today. That moment right there, when he pops in with that rabbits can swim, it adds the educational component to the show that I value so totally. Sorry, just got exuberant.
Rabbit.
Yeah.
So if you're up there, I don't. First of all, I don't know. The whole story is weird to me. I think the rabbit was probably thrown in the water because I don't think a rabbit would jump in the water.
I tend to throw them in the water. You know, we're just goofy with rabbits down here in my community. Right?
I didn't know that.
Oh, God. And I have two terriers. So when they go outside, it's like, you know, and they want to chase after
them. Well, we have yard bunnies. I like my bunnies up here. Yeah.
The article I pulled up said that some rabbits enjoy swimming. Mm-hmm. So that rabbit might have just been enjoying itself, and she ruined it.
Yeah, because it's
she hot. Ruined it for the rabbit. Yeah. They only do breaststroke, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Just go ahead. Let's just
All
move
right.
forward.
Let's close Please. With this. Mike, you know, Michael Douglas, I can remember in my lifetime when he was quite the dashing romantic lead. Remember the Streets of San Francisco?
Michael Douglas was the go-to guy back in the day and made a lot of great movies, has made a lot of great movies.
Yeah, and he is, you know, still married right now to Catherine Zeta-Jones, and he golfs with her.
Yep.
And I found this clip a little upsetting, and I'm wondering if you ever golfed with Carla, if you observed the same rules.
Tell us, what does she make you do when you lose to her?
whip it out.
Oh my God!
This is the view.
Love it.
You know, drop the trowel and whip it out.
That's the secret to a marriage.
Like senior golfers, all right.
Love
it. I'm going to be 80 now in September, so now I play off of ladies' tees too, so I don't have to do that anymore.
Okay, I don't. All right.
Well, what does she have to do if she loses?
Does this continue?
No, it's okay. All parts.
There is a, and this is for non-golfers out there, and I can speak to this because I know there is a rule. It is one of the unofficial rules. Nobody adheres to it, but this is that if you are playing for the men's tee and you mishit a shot so badly that it doesn't get past the ladies' tee up in front of you, that you are required to whip it out. That's what he's referring to. It got confused
Mike,
in the translation.
Mike, you made up that rule.
It's so I could look.
There you go. He's so got the only golf bag, Josh, with a tape measure.
Yes, sir. Wow. Well, look at that. How about that? We have to
actually,
go.
Mike, that policy was instituted by Arnold Palmer.
Yes. Yeah. Arnie used to love to lay it on the table. You know, get out your yardstick, Arnie, Arnold. Have a great time with our bonus show tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with a brand new bonus show episode. And thank you. The tickets are still on sale for our grand reunion weekend at the Downtown Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, with a live podcast and also slot blackjack tournaments, ladies brunch, all that good stuff. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com and they will direct you where to get tickets to that weekend. It's going to be a great weekend with tons of activities for you as we literally commandeer an entire hotel. What about the like 5 or 10 people that'll be there without our group? They won't know what hit them. Anyway, it should be a lot of fun.
They will be with our group by the time they check out.
Oh, they will. That's the way our group is. Yes. We will see you tomorrow for the bonus show. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Rabbits like to swim.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Why don't you love me?
What the flip was Grandma doing at the sand dunes?
We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.
The rent stays like a buffalo.
Here!